Good morning, everyone. I'd like to call the Legacy Finance Committee meeting to order. Welcome, everybody. I'm glad we have a full room with all the weather and all that. So that's good. I'm hoping that as Representative Clardy, if you can start making your way up, I'm going to do a minute. Okay, so Vice Chair Hussein, are you have you had an opportunity to take a peek at the minutes for the March 20th meeting? And if so, are you willing to move them, sir?
Yes, Chair. I looked at it on March 20th for the minutes, and I move.
So we have a motion from Vice Chair Hussein. And any questions regards to minutes? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. So we've been doing quite a bit of overviews in this committee and kind of reaching back and taking a deeper look in some of the bigger recipients that get funds. And now we have an opportunity to look at some bills that are presented from members. I'm really excited to see members come today and welcome Representative Clardy. And I'd like to move that House File 3388 be laid over for possible inclusion. So welcome, Representative Clardy, and go ahead and tell us about what you're working on. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Lilly and committee. First of all, I'm so excited to be here because I've been wanting to be on Legacy Committee ever since I started. This project that I'm bringing to you is from my perspective of being a mom and being a teacher for 28 years. I talked to a principal of mine, and he told me that education had three different type of capacities. One of them is instructional in the classroom. The other one is learning from an expert. And the third one, which I'm bringing today, is an experiential piece. The bill I'm here to present today encompasses the experiential component, which is an interactive exhibit. And it's also ADA compliant, which is another big thing that we always need to look at for accessibility. The Dakota County Historical Society is in support of the House File 3388, providing $287,500 in grants to design and build an interactive children exhibit at the Lachey Memorial Museum. So right here, right next to me, I have Matt Carter, who's the executive director, and he'll be testifying in support of the request and give a further description of what it is.
Thank you, Representative Clardy, and welcome, Director Clardy, or not Clardy, Carter, sorry. Welcome, Mr. Carter.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Lilly, members and committee staff. So thank you for hearing this bill, and thank you to Representative Clardy for authoring and believing in this important project. So my name is Matt Carter, and I'm executive director at the Dakota County Historical Society. And as mentioned, we are seeking a $287,500 legacy grant for a new interactive, inclusive, and accessible children's exhibit at our museum. This exhibit will provide visitors with a hands-on look into Dakota County's prehistoric past through an archaeological dig, as well as a deeper understanding of the immigrant experience viewed through the eyes of the worker at the world's largest stockyards that was located in South St. Paul. And we will look into the positive benefits for families from all walks of life that were spurred by rural electrification, specifically in the 1930s. So in Northern Dakota County, where we are located, more than half of the children and are members of the BIPOC community. So I want to focus on that today, as well as the accessible and inclusive nature of the exhibit. So we're working with a nationally recognized children's exhibit company called Kidzibits. They've created exhibits for companies and museums all across the country, and they've even created some here within the state of Minnesota for the Children's Museum that's located here. So this design team actively sought to create an exhibit that matches our organization's missions and goals through an accessible and durable exhibit. So they specifically designed components of this to follow ADA accessibility. So we have a replica rail car that will be a refrigerated rail car. All of that was designed with the idea for ADA accessibility and maneuverability inside that. All the components that are included in it will be hands-on, and they will be ADA accessible heights for young children or anyone that has a disability with lower heights along the perimeters and within the exhibit itself. It's being designed in four separate sections, which will allow for maneuverability through the different spaces. They'll be grouped together, but also make sure there's no tight spaces or corners that are needing to be maneuvered within throughout. So in 1976, Dakota County commissioners built a county museum for the residents of Dakota County. And that was built as a free resource to the community. We continue that today. We're an admission-free museum with, in 2023, we just redid all of our exhibits. So it's essentially brand new exhibits throughout the entire museum, which will be the first time since 1978 that was done. And with the addition of this children's exhibit, it will give us the ability to have a brand new experience for visitors. One of the benefits of our location in our museum is we are located right on a bus line. We offer free parking, so there's no economic or financial barrier to visiting our location, including this exhibit. So other museums that are larger, children's museums, a family of four, it can cost over $100 by the time they travel, park, admissions, and enter into the facility and most likely have food included with that. Our museum will help lower that cost for families throughout the county and the state. So with that, Mr. Chair and members, thank you again for hearing this important bill, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you all might have.
Thank you, Director Carter. Any questions regards to this Dakota County project? Seeing no questions, any final words on about this project? Thank you for.
Yeah, again, thanks for hearing this. The accessibility piece is really key. It's not only for the children, which the museum is for, or the exhibit is for, but those adults that are bringing their children, it's accessible, the parking lot and everything is accessible for them to access it as well. So, thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative Clarity. And with that, do I have to move it again? It's so the bill is laid over. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, Representative Hussein, I don't see Representative Sansevieria. So,
yeah,
if you're able and willing to mix it up a little bit,
okay, that'll be fine.
There's quite a few other committees going and at the same time, so members will be coming and going and have bills up in other committees. And thank you for your flexibility, Vice Chair Hussein.
Absolutely.
So with that, the chair will, let's see, so.
Anything for my chair, right?
So I'll move that. House file 3517 be laid over for possible inclusion. Representative Hussein, welcome to your committee, and tell us what you're working on, sir.
Thank you, and thanks for Chair Lilly and committee members. I'm honored to be here to present House File 3517, Justice Ramsey Stonehouse. Ramsey Stonehouse is simply a St. Paul diverse cultural heritage. It was home to many of African American back in the days, and family for shopkeepers, construction, and workers. The construction of this building will be held stories of living experience of African-American railroad workers and their family during 20th century and the 19th century. This is when the first African-American, when they came to Minnesota, that's where they used to stay up and live in that building. And what we're doing is the Minnesota Transportation Museum will choose four applications that has been for bidding for this building to move to Minnesota history. And I'm honored that Executive Director Larry is here with us today, and he'll be explaining to us a little bit more. And also we do have community members from the Orlando community who are excited about this exhibit to be continue the history of Minnesota. And this is before the Randall community. That's where they used to live in downtown Seven Corners, and that's where they used to have businesses and constructions. And this is huge to my district, and the Alders that has been pushing for this for many years to be moved that exhibit to Minnesota Transportation. So I will turn over my testifier, Larry, who's executive Minnesota Transportation Museum.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Hussein, and welcome to the Legacy Committee. Please state your name and tell us more.
Just to correct a bit, I am actually not the executive director of the Transportation Museum. He's on a well-served pre-planned vacation. My name is Larry Paulson, and I'm a board member of the Minnesota Transportation Museum. And I want to thank the chair, the vice chair, the members of the committee for the opportunity to present in front of you today. We appreciate Vice Chair Hussein's continuous support and for introducing this bill in front of you. And at this point, I'd like to pass this around if that's okay. Just so
yes, please.
See.
Please. Thank you.
Again, I'm Larry Paulson, and I'm a board member of the Minnesota Transportation Museum. The museum holds a unique place in the city of St. Paul, the state of Minnesota, and in the nation. The Jackson Street Roundhouse is recognized on the National Register of Historic Places and is home to a rich array of historical collections, from active rail car restorations to railway memorabilia. The museum also operates a seasonal passenger train through the St. Croix Valley on the Osceola and St. Croix Valley Railway. Hopefully many of you have ridden that. One of the last operating roundhouses built by James J. Hill to serve the Great Northern Railway, the Jackson Street Roundhouse had a direct role in economic and cultural development of our region and the westward expansion of the United States. The museum envisions a direct connection of the Justice Ramsey House to the museum's ongoing mission of relating the history of Minnesota railroading and presents an opportunity to tell a more in-depth story of St. Paul's African-American community as it existed in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Through the presence of the relocated house, the community's close connection to the local railroading industry can be better interpreted. With several residents known to be Pullman porters, red caps, other railroad industry workers, and their families, the home life of these families can be more completely presented and treasured. With the requisite funding in place, we anticipate the reconstruction of the Justice Ramsey House to begin basically immediately this month, if possible, followed by the installation of exhibit displays and a grand opening by the end of the year. Although we are asking for support from the legislature, we have support from individuals with a strong interest in protecting historic structures with great cultural significance, and hope to receive support from local corporations that have demonstrated a long-term commitment to the cultural needs of the community, and foundations similarly interested in supporting the museum's goal of, of reconstructing the Justice Ramsey House and presenting a story to the community. Thank you for the opportunity for me to testify today. We support the Senate omnibus bill that includes at this time, $300,000 for this project, and we are fully capable of funding the remaining. I respectfully request the committee's support for including this request in the House omnibus bill. And that's my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Paulson. And Vice Chair Hussein.
I have Frank White, who's the Alder community, for him to come and say a few words.
Sounds great. Welcome, sir. Please state your name for the record and go ahead when you're comfortable, please.
My name is Frank White, and thank you, representatives and committee and chair, for this opportunity to share a few words. The significance of restoring this building is actually more than Black history. This is really a part of St. Paul in Minnesota's history and how this city developed and its growth over the years. So as already been mentioned, people that came here, whether they came off of the river, whether they came off of the railroads, in the beginning they lived in downtown. So there was a significant, and I would say significant given the numbers at the time, of people that lived here. And not only did they live here, they worked here, but they were part of St. Paul's growth. And I think that this building, the Justice Ramsey House, will help interpret a part of that history, even though it has been removed from the 7th Street area and will now be at the Minnesota Transportation. But there is a great connection between the house, the railroads that helped grow St. Paul, Minnesota, and actually our country. And whether we use J.J. Hill or others. So there is a significant piece of history that is here, and I would hope that you would think about this more. And while it's Black history, it's really St. Paul in Minnesota history. And I think that's more significant, but also captures, again, the history and the beginning of people that lived here, that worked here, and helped make this great city and great state.
Thank you, Mr. White. Appreciate your coming today, and thank you.
Thank you.
So is there any member questions? Representative Finke.
Thank you, Chair Lilly, and thank you, Vice Chair Hussein, and to the folks who are working on this project. I just want to say I'm really grateful that this is happening. I'm excited for us to fund this. This is the end of a long and tortuous process of making sure this building gets preserved and that this important part of our city's history is preserved. So I just want to say thank you very much. I'm excited that this is happening.
Thank you. And this has been ongoing for the last 10 years through the city of St. Paul, whether they want to diminish this building or they want to keep it. And Frank White has been stood up and many other elders and has been advocating for this project to make sure that this identity is not only African-American and Black history, but it's some St. Paul history that we want to keep it for many years, and so people can see, you know, how it looks like, and I'm excited to carry this bill.
Thank you, Representative Finkin, Representative Hussein. Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hussein, is this the site that we visited during
Capital Investments
with the Pullman cars and all that cool stuff in it and
yes,
everything?
Yes, Representative.
Okay, so it's just going to be placed there. Is that the plan?
Yes,
Representative Hussein.
Yes, Charlie and Representative Scrabble. Yes, it is going to move into Minnesota history transportation. There's so many people has been bidding for this, and Minnesota history is the winner for this to get the trophy and have them displayed so people can come and visit. It's not only this is also the governor, the first governor in the state of Minnesota. His brother was the one who built that building, and he used to be a state representative as well back in the days, the Ramsey Star House.
Representative Scrava.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Hussein, and name of the...
Mr. White,
I appreciate your words. I really look at history as everybody, and I think without anybody, we wouldn't have history. So when everybody is involved, we have history, and it's something to look back at. And everyone plays their role in history. And after seeing that site and learning about it, I think it's a great spot for it. Thank you. Thank you for your time, too.
Thank you, Representative Scott Rava. Seeing no further questions, and I'll go to you for a second, but I just want to say that I've really enjoyed going to this museum. It had an opportunity where you spoke, Vice Chair Hussein, and did a great job, by the way. And it was just full of people and just an amazing place, and it's right here, literally blocks from here. And then I had another opportunity to go with Chair Lee's committee, and it's just a marvelous place. And again, I encourage all people to go over and attend there. And they received some legacy funding last year and are good stewards of that. I noticed an exhibit of past historical society grants that you've gotten, and some of the displays had legacy mentions of that. But again, any final comments? Vice Chair Hussein.
Yes, and I just want to thank you all for hearing this bill. And this is beyond history. And those individuals that came, also they built the state capitol that we always have the return and everything. So I wanted to thank for Mr. White for putting a lot of offering time to save this kind of history piece in the state of Minnesota. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Paulson and Mr. White. Thank you for coming. And Vice Chair Hussein, with that, the bill is laid over. So thank you very much. Representative Sensenmira, thank you for your accommodation. We saw you right after we had switched, but thank you for your welcome to the Legacy Committee. And I'll move that House File 4902 be laid over for possible inclusion. Again, welcome, Representative Sensenmira, and I see you have some guests, and go ahead when you're ready, please.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Chair Lilly and committee members. I'm here today to talk about House File 4902, which would appropriate $800,000 from the Arts and Legacy Fund for the creation of cultural studies materials, specifically cultural studies materials that depict and can educate about underrepresented groups. So last session, I was really proud to be the lead author of the Ethnic Studies for All bill, which was part of our final education package and ensures that starting two school years from now, all students across Minnesota will have access to ethnic studies courses in high school. And we passed this law. We made that change because we know that Minnesota is a diverse state and that our students need to leave high school with some awareness of different cultures, both to better understand themselves and to better understand their fellow Minnesotans. As we go to the rollout of that program, one thing that we hear from schools is just the need for really strong curriculum based in academic standards around ethnic studies. And particularly in Minnesota, some of our largest ethnic communities are communities that have largely been absent from our history textbooks, from our English textbooks, from our social studies textbooks. And so this competitive grant would create the opportunity to create some really needed curricular resources about specific groups that we have large populations of here in Minnesota that we just don't have enough curricular resources to adequately tell their stories. So this would provide competitive grant funding to create these resources for cultures that have, you know, traditionally been left out or cultures that maybe don't have as much written about them, and really trusting that the communities here in Minnesota can help us create those curricular resources. So I do have some testifiers here with me today that can explain a little bit more about the need for these kind of curricular resources and how they could be developed, and I would like to now invite them to speak.
Thank you, Representative. Go ahead, whoever's first, please introduce yourself. Thank you.
Najong, good morning, Chair Lilly and Legacy Finance Committee members. Thank you for allowing me to testify in support of HF 4902. And thank you, Representative Sensenmira, for introducing this bill. My name is Mokong V. I'm a second-generation Hmong American, born an immigrant and refugee parents that fled the Sikh War in Laos. I'm also an educator in St. Paul Public Schools. I had the honor of teaching Asian American and Hmong American Studies at Johnson Senior High School. Currently, I coordinate and support the Ethnic Studies Program in the Office of Teaching and Learning and SPPS. SPPS is one of the two school districts in the state of Minnesota that has an ethnic studies graduation requirement. HF 4902 will allocate $800,000 in fiscal year 2025 from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund to school districts to develop high quality academic and cultural and ethnic studies material for communities that do not have adequate materials and who are underrepresented. I also like to reference that HF 4902 directly supports the ethnic studies provisions from last year's education omnibus bill, which Representative Sinsemira had talked a little bit about earlier. And ethnic studies is defined by statute as the interdisciplinary study of race, ethnicity, and indigeneity, with a focus on the experiences and perspectives of people of color within and beyond the United States. Some of these key provisions include access to ethnic studies instruction, support for implementation, and then also resources dedicated for ethnic studies implementation across Minnesota schools. However, St. Paul Public Schools, like many other school districts, is facing enormous challenges when it comes to ethnic studies curriculum and resources. Unlike other content areas such as math, literacy, and science, ethnic studies curriculum materials cannot be purchased from a curriculum and textbook service provider. That doesn't exist. Appropriation from the Legacy Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund would directly support the development of ethnic studies curriculum and materials that are co-constructed from the shared knowledge and lived experiences of educators, community experts, students, and families. HF 4902 will help provide financial support to school districts and leaders who are seeking to implement ethnic studies and strengthen already existing ethnic studies program in the state of Minnesota. As Minnesota schools become increasingly diverse, the need for culturally responsive, reflective curriculum is only more relevant. Together, we can champion and create a more just and equitable education system in which our students deserve. I urge you to support HF 4902. Thank you for your time and consideration. Ocho.
Thank you. Good job, Bob. And you have another. Yes. Go ahead, please introduce yourself and go ahead when you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, representatives of this committee, for your time today on House File 4902. My name is Christetta Barini, and I am the program director for 826 MSP, a youth writing center based in South Minneapolis, serving more than 1,500 students annually across the Twin Cities with free creative writing, publishing, and leadership programs. We primarily serve BIPOC students and schools at 51% or more free and reduced lunch rates. Additionally, the majority of our students speak a language other than English at home. At 826 MSP, we run several programs that give students the tools to tell their own story and bring it to the world. And I have some great examples of those books, which I will hopefully be able to pass around to committee members, because you'll notice that these books are written by primarily Minneapolis and St. Paul Public School students, and they are themselves primary source documents of ethnic studies written from the perspective of students in this day and age. So I will.
Thank you. Yeah, please pass those around.
So one of our landmark programs, and what you're going to see samples of right now with these books, is our Young Authors Book Project. For this project, we partner with a classroom teacher or a student group at a school, and for about 4 to 6 months during the school year, to write, edit, design, and publish a professionally bound trade paperback book. We have done this project with elementary, middle, and high school students. There's something magical about telling a young person that their story matters, and that it matters so much that the story deserves to be in a real book. That's the power of the printed word, that even in this digital age, young people still know that this is an important opportunity. To that list, House File 4902 specifically identifies a need for more culturally specific and ethnic studies materials for Hmong, Karen, Somali, and Oromo communities, among other underrepresented ethnic groups who have made Minnesota their home. To that list, I would add youth. Our youth are living and making history every day. The way they experience simultaneously their home culture and American culture, the way they have fresh ideas and energy to challenge the way things are done, these are all valuable insights. During our book projects, we work with teachers to create writing lessons that are not only rigorous and challenging, but deeply representative of the students we work with. And in most of those books that you are looking at right now, we also publish educator resources and our curriculum so that more educators can do the writing prompts and use these texts as model texts for students. And these books have been sold and shared across the country.
One of my students, Fraul, whose family is Oromo, wrote about the experience of trying to talk to his non-English speaking family and describes his grasp of his home language like torn paper in his mouth. Another student, Fahima, wrote about complaining to her cousin how she didn't want to learn Somali. Responding in Somali, the cousin replied, "With our language, you would not exist." Just last month, I was working with fourth graders at Urban Academy in St. Paul. Their work will be published in an anthology titled Something You Should Know About Us, coming out in June. The majority of the students at Urban Academy are Asian American, most of whom are Hmong and Karen. There is one girl, Jamila, who is Filipino. Jamila is the first Filipino student I have had, and I am the first Filipino educator that she has had. When we wrote poems about our families, my example incorporated Filipino foods and words for family members. When Jamila wrote her poem, she proudly read it to me, saying, "I am from Ube. It's made from our culture. I am from my sister and Lola. I am from my brother and Lolo." Fraul, Fahima, and Jamila, among the thousands of other students who have been published through 826 MSP's writing programs, are making new primary source documents of ethnic studies every year. Supporting House File 4902 means that organizations like mine will be able to create more works like the books you are holding, train educators and school districts on our model, and ultimately give more, especially BIPOC youth voices, the platform to be heard. As of 2018, more youth literature was published with animal characters than with characters of color. Now more than ever, we need investment in diverse literature and education materials. Thank you for considering House File 4902.
Thank you very much. I'm really enjoying the books, but I kind of lost it in something one of the stories. Sorry.
They are telling.
Any member questions? Vice Chair Hussein.
I don't have any question, but I'm supporting this bill because I speak multiple language, and my kids are learning Somali as we speak right now, and it's very tough. And thanks for bringing this forward. Ethnic study and cultural and identity, the more they learn is the more that our kids' brain has been developed. And I speak Arabic, and I speak French a little bit, and I speak Somali, and I speak English. And I'm proud to study a little bit more. And the more you learn, the more you identical and learn more people's cultural identity. And thank you for bringing this bill forward.
Thank you, Vice Chair Hussein. Who, Representative Vang.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Sensenbrenner, thank you for bringing this bill. This is, I think, it's incredibly important that we continue to diversify our teaching materials and a curriculum to really support students in their representation too as well. I think I just have one question in the last line, 1.12, says, in developing these materials, a recipient of a grant under this section must work with the school districts. I'm curious to see who do you guys think the recipients are will be for this grant? Like, is it book authors or artists? If you can elaborate.
Representative Sensenbrenner.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Vang, for that question. You know, and I definitely think that would be something that would, you know, be figured out by the agencies to some degree. You know, I can tell you that when I think of examples, you know, I think we heard an example from a youth writing organization that is helping young people write about their cultures, their ethnicities, to be able to use that as primary text. You know, I also have a friend who worked on developing resources specifically about music in the Somali community with music teachers in the Burnsville School District, you know, recognizing that oftentimes I think when we think about ethnic studies, we might think, oh, it's for a social studies class, right, or it's for this. But, you know, there was a music class that said we have majority Somali students. They have songs from their home, but, you know, maybe I'm a teacher that's not part of that culture. I don't know those. So how can I learn that? How can I develop that resource? And then how can I share that with folks across the state? So I think I could see a variety of groups, a variety of disciplines, you know, groups of teachers, historians, artists. You know, something I, as the lead author for ethnic studies, when I was talking to teachers about the bill, you know, I heard a lot of teachers that said, I'm really excited about this, but I'm also nervous. I don't know how to teach this curriculum, right? And mm-hmm. And so how am I going to get the resources? And so I think this is the opportunity to bring in cultural groups, bring in those experts who can then support teachers and school districts as they roll out the programs.
Chair Vang, any? Oh, okay, thank you. And Representative Shaw?
So I have this book in front of me that you passed out called Adventures Within Another. And I'm going to give voice to this because I opened up to this page and I read it and it kind of touched me, so I'm going to read it. So here we go. It's called My Dad by Passe. I can't tell you, Daddy, how many tears I've cried since the day I was told my precious dad had died. You never said you were leaving. You never said goodbye. You were gone before I knew it, and only God knew why. It seems so impossible, although I didn't know it's true, as everything I see around reminds me of you. A million times I needed you. A million times I cried. If love alone could have saved you, you never would have died. I can still hear your laughter and see your smiling face. I would have lost my sanity if not for God's saving grace. In life, I love you dearly. In death, I love you still. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Shaw. Representative Finke.
Thank you, Chair Lilly and Representative, for your bill. This is, you know, as has been said, this is amazing work. I would ask two questions. One is, do you know what's the process for ensuring that districts know about this, right? Get access to it? I assume you're reaching out, but is there a way they're aware of it?
Mm-hmm. Representative Sensenmayer.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Finke. You know, and I think maybe that's something we could continue to add language around as we roll this out. You know, the Department of Education is doing lots of work across the state around ethnic studies. They currently have an ethnic study. They're putting together an ethnic studies working group that's going to be coming up with kind of some framework for what ethnic studies classes could be. So I know that MDE has kind of deep roots in communities across the state, and so potentially we could put some language in here for coordination with them to ensure that we are making sure that the word about this is getting out to communities across the state who need it.
Representative Finke.
Thank you, and thank you for that. That's good to know. And then the other thing would be the language that says that, you know, this is for high-quality academic, cultural, and ethnic study materials for communities that do not have adequate cultural and ethnic studies materials. You know, personally, I would just wager that that's every single school in America, right? We have not prioritized adequate cultural and ethnic studies materials. So I just want to make sure we're not, you know, leaving anybody out by allowing someone to say, no, we're good. We don't need this material, you know, because I do think everybody does. So for what it's worth, thank you.
Representative Sensenmayer,
I agree.
And Representative Herr.
Thank you, Chair Lilly, and thank you, Representative Sensenmayer, for bringing this bill forward. I did just maybe want to piggyback on Representative Finke's point is that, you know, we are seeing that Greater Minnesota is becoming more and more diverse, and I want to make sure that, you know, the resources, they have the resources they need. So I appreciate your response to that. But I also want to just say that, you know, something like this would have been really valuable when I was growing up, and that I think I came in the first wave of immigrants, refugees that came to America after the Vietnam War. And in our generation, we were taught to assimilate and not really embrace our own culture. So I spoke Hmong really poorly. I probably spoke at an elementary school level. And I watched my colleagues who are legislators now from the same background, where they were all much younger, 10, 20, 30 years younger than me, and they spoke Hmong better than I did. They understood the culture much better than I did. And I think that that's why they got to where we all are faster than I did. And that I, you know, and so I think that it is really important to understand that we can, when people understand their own identity, it is not to divide, but it's really to bring us all together, and that then we can all reach our full potential so much sooner. And so I really appreciate this, and I shouldn't have waited until I was 30 to learn that Hmong people are actually from China. I did not know that because I was never taught it. I never heard it. No one ever said anything to me of the school district I went to, and I grew up in Wisconsin. And so I think that understanding that for myself, there was great empowerment in knowing that I finally knew really where I was from. And it was just so late in my life to figure that out. And that's when my journey really began, and really understanding my own identity and getting to where I am today. And so I think that this is really important work, and I appreciate you bringing this forward.
Thank you. Representative Sensenmayer, go ahead if you have any final comments. And again, thank you, members. I thank you, Representative Chow, for reading that, because that happened to me up here. I was cheering, and then I got lost in a story. It was so a little embarrassing, but it was great. So, Representative, go ahead and give us some final.
Thank you, Chair Lilly. Thank you, committee members, for the robust discussion today. And I think that this bill will continue to be revised, and I appreciate some of the points that were made. I would say that we know that we need to write our own stories, right? And a lot of times, for some cultural groups, this might be the first time that story is written. But to ensure that we can have these curriculum, ethnic studies curriculum, really implemented to fidelity across the state, we know that we need to give schools the tools that they need. And so I think this is a start in doing that. And I do hope that you all will consider this bill for inclusion in your final bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. And thank you, guests. It's nice to see Minneapolis and St. Paul working together. With that, the bill is laid over. So thank you. Representative Hansen. I'll move that House File 3355 to be laid over for possible inclusion. Welcome, Chair Hansen. And I don't know if you have any guests or if you're...
I do, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. I have with me representatives from the Croatian Hall in South St. Paul. I did order little flag pins that were the American flag and the Croatian flag, but either because of snow or some reason, they have not arrived. So I will have them for you probably after the break. This bill is $195,000. For appropriated from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund for a grant to the Vratski Dom Croatian Hall in South St. Paul for restoring and operating the hall for community gatherings and preserve the history and cultural heritage of Croatian immigrants in Minnesota. And I have with me folks from the hall who introduce yourself.
Thank you, Chair Hansen, and welcome, guests. Please state your name for the record and go ahead. Yes, I don't know who's first. But
Tom Buchan, the general manager of the Hrvatski Dom Association.
Thank you.
Tony Bilgin, president of the Hrvatski Dom Association.
Thank you. So do you have some comments that you'd like to share with us? Or?
Yeah, I'd like to share a little background on how long the hall has been around. We started in 1919 and recently had our 100th anniversary in September of 2019. The hall was started back then for immigrants when they came over from the old country, and it was used as a gathering place to socialize, weddings, that nature. When they first came to town, basically they were looking for jobs, so there was some funds available that the general membership had put together so they could get a little bit of money, get themselves set up, and then when they got jobs, then they would give back. I've been on the board since 1985, and I became president in 2016. My family goes way back. My grandfather was one of the original founders. My grandmother was very involved. My father was a president. I've got currently a daughter and a brother that's on the board of directors also. So we have a very big stake in this place. It's been in my childhood from day one, and it's something that we really are trying to keep going. We have a number of we've had a number of dignitaries from Croatia that have been over. The Minnesota Air Guard and the Croatian Air Force have a sisterhood where they trade back and forth, so they'll study over there and then they'll come here. We've had the defense secretary or minister of defense, he was here a couple years ago, and this July the president of Croatia is going to visit us, which is really a big deal for us. We do tons of community events. We have a charitable gambling where we provide funds for seniors, sports, kids, you name it. And the hall has also donated time to cultural events that people, if they want to use the hall for meetings and such, it's there. What's happened over the last 100 years is we've become... The hall has been obviously a 100-year-old building, so we're looking to try and upgrade to keep this going because it is such a place in the community that I think really serves a lot of people. We are, in fact, the last operating Croatian hall in the state of Minnesota. So with that, I can have Tom kind of expound on some of the things that we do day to day.
Yeah,
Mr. Buchan, go ahead, sir.
Yep. So as Tony touched on, we do a lot of community events, a lot of charities, the youth sports groups coming to do fundraisers. We lost our VFW in town, so we're kind of the only place for them to host fundraisers. We give all the proceeds go back to those groups, those organizations. And the hall, it takes a beating, so there's a lot of upkeep that needs to happen. And, we need to fix this and fix that. It's a very important staple in South St. Paul. Funds like this would definitely help us continue to offer this to, the community and surrounding communities as well. We do a lot with a lot of different groups. So, it would be a great, great thing for us to be able to continue to do this. We get the Croatian Culture Society of Minnesota. They come and they do all of their events there. Andrea Newman, the president, she's organizing the president coming and those groups that, that come. So, it'd be a great, great honor to be able to receive this.
Thank you both. We have some member questions, so Representative Scraba.
I didn't think I'd be first. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Zdravo. And I'm a Slovenian from Heritage, and my grandfather and grandmother came across and set in Ely, Minnesota, where we had the Yugoslav national home, and we had all, and the Croatians were always there. And one of the things I've seen in my life, just watching this history fall apart while I watch my friends on the other side of the aisle trying to keep their cultures alive and going, and I think it's admirable. I think we all need to do this. So at some point, I mean, this keeps that, like you said, it keeps that little, we support the kids getting together, and everyone, not just Croatian kids, but everyone, all the kids in the neighborhood, but you serve as the focal point. And do you guys have, what's your attendance, or what's your, how many people in your group?
Well, at this point, we have 159 actual shareholders. Then that's probably 460 or so shares outstanding. And then we also have associate memberships because we are a private club. So when someone comes in, say any one of you folks wanted to come in and say, first thing we'll say is, are you a member? If not, then we sign you up as an associate. So it helps keep our club license intact. And we actually have on the books almost 5,000 people that have signed up for associate memberships. Now, some of those have probably passed on and such, but, yeah it's if you're from that part of town, everybody knows what the Croatian Hall is. It's kind of a focal point with a lot of fundraisers, like we said, and there's something going on every weekend pretty much. And if I could say something, this would be such a great honor for us to get this, is when COVID hit, it really hit us hard. We had to go into our cash reserves, and we spent well over half. And in order to keep going with improvements and everything else, this would be just, would be very, very helpful.
Thank you, Mr. Bilgin. Representative Scraba.
That's all, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Any additional member questions? Seeing none, I do have a quick question. So Representative Hansen, have you reached out to the Historical Society and, for this organization to, because we give them a little bit of money,
right.
As you know.
Right. I've talked with Mr. Kelleher about a variety of needs that we have protecting history in Minnesota. So,
okay. So thank you. Thank you for having us, and we're looking forward to the pins. So thank you, Representative Hansen. We're looking forward to the presidential visit.
Oh, yeah.
Quite impressive.
Very much so. Very much so.
So any final comments, Representative Hansen?
You're invited, right? They can come to the, if you'd like to come to the Croatian Hall, it's open, and we're happy to have you there. It's also, they didn't mention, there's bipartisan history as well. So Senator Wellstone's bus left in 1990 to go to the Capitol. And there's some photos of that taken by a younger me that are there. And Governor Pawlenty's 2006 victory party was there. So there's it's often for a kickoff. It brings everybody together, a lot of involvement. So I'd encourage you to visit and also ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Hansen, and thank you, guests. Thank you. We're looking forward to visiting. With that, House File 3355 is laid over. So, Representative Lee, welcome to the Legacy Committee, and go ahead and.
I brought a treat because it's my first time presenting.
Well, thank you.
We were expecting that treat. First time, right?
Well, that'll be the second treat. First was the books. And now we, I'm looking forward to that. So Representative Lee, get settled, and then I'd like to move that House File 4996 be laid over for possible inclusion. So welcome to the Legacy Committee, Representative Lee, and go ahead when you're ready, please.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to members of the committee for providing time to hear House File 4996 this morning. As some of you may know, next year marks the 50th anniversary of the end of American involvement in Southeast Asian conflicts in the following countries: Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia, just to name a few. As a result of the U.S. withdrawal from Southeast Asia, Minnesota received its first Hmong and Vietnamese families in 1975 as well. To commemorate and celebrate the Southeast Asian community in Minnesota, House File 4996 would provide $500,000 to the Minnesota Historical Society for activities to commemorate 50 years of Southeast Asians in Minnesota. Simply put, the bill allocates $300,000 in grants through the History Center for cultural, community, and veterans groups to apply for. It also provides $200,000 to the History Center for activities celebrating 50 years of the Hmong community in Minnesota. We have a lot of testifiers signed up today, and so I know, I think this is the last bill on the agenda, but we also want to end on time. And so I just want to know before I turn it over to the testifiers that David Kelleher is not signed up to speak, but he's also here and on hand to answer questions for the History Center. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to my first testifier from Cal.
Thank you, Representative Lee. Good morning. Welcome. Nice to see you again. Please introduce yourself and go ahead when you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee members. My name is Tao Mei Shong. I'm the Executive and Network Director for the Coalition of Asian American Leaders. We are a statewide organization that has over 5,000 network leaders from as far north as Roward and far down south as Winona and Worthington. We are a cross-ethnic, cross-generational, cross-sector organization that serves to make systems change through policy and advocacy, grant making, leadership support, and data and research. In the most recent census data, Asian Minnesotans make up a little over 6% of the population, with Southeast Asians, the Vietnamese, Lao, Hmong, Cambodian, and Burmese making up close to 58% of the population. The majority of the Southeast Asian Minnesotans came to the U.S. as political refugees fleeing oppressive governments involved in the fight for democracy during the Cold War. Just for a little context, the Cold War was a fight between superpowers of the Soviet Union and the U.S. And although there was no direct war between the Soviet Union and the U.S., there was war, there was the Vietnam War. And the Vietnam War was a conduit to fight for Southeast Asia countries to either be communist or democratic. The Vietnam War was part of this overall Cold War confrontation and the American struggle against the spread of communism in the world. The U.S. justified its military intervention in Vietnam by the domino theory, which stated that if one country fell under influence of communism, the surrounding countries would inevitably follow. The aim was to prevent communist domination of Southeast Asia. That is how my family has come here. My father was a veteran in the Vietnam War fighting with the Hmong military. I share this context because despite Southeast Asia being full of diverse countries, languages, cultures, and religions, we have a shared history of coming to America with the shared trauma of participating or being part of a war, as well as the shared freedom of being able to come to the United States and reestablish ourselves. So with this shared history of being able to come together and rebuild our lives in the United States, we now are considered Southeast Asian or Asian American. And as a political refugee from Laos, many of my closest colleagues and friends are also from Southeast Asia, and we are all trying to remember and honor our parents and the ancestors who fought for democracy. I support this bill that Representative Lee is championing because it allows our children who are born and raised in the United States, and in particular in Minnesota, to remember, reflect, and prevent the local, national, and global atrocities that trigger massive displacement and death. As Americans, all of us from Southeast Asia, either born there or born here, who have now become residents of Minnesota, we must be vigilant to fight for the values of democracy through building strong, inclusive communities so we do not repeat history, so we don't resort to violence or hatred that targets one community against another. So as the Coalition of Asian American Leaders who work across different ethnic communities, I believe in working together with everyone from the Southeast Asian community to commemorate this really important date in international history, but also in the Southeast Asian history. So thank you, Representative Lee, for paving the way to commemorating our shared suffering and honoring the significant contributions of Southeast Asians made to fight for democracy and advance freedom. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And next we have Hui.
Hi, welcome to the Legacy Committee. Please introduce yourself and go ahead when you're ready, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and hello and good morning, everyone. My name is Hui Pham, and I'm the Executive Director of Vietnamese Social Services of Minnesota, known as VSS. I have served in this role for the last 6 years. My family came to Minnesota in 1975 as one of the first group of Vietnamese refugees, referred back then as the Boat People. Founded in 1987, VSS is a direct service organization serving low-income families, welcome newly arrived refugee and immigrants, supporting youth, adults, and seniors on their journey as new Americans. While half of the community members we serve are Vietnamese, 40% of the folks we serve are currently refugees and immigrants. We also serve our Burmese, Somali, and Lao community members. We reach more than 1,012 plus program participants over the last 37 years. With this context, I am here to testify in support of House File 4996, which would provide $500,000 to the Minnesota History Center to fund programs and activities to commemorate and celebrate 50 years of the Southeast Asian community in Minnesota. This will bring our community together, fostering a sense of unity and belonging, as well as providing a platform for our community members to connect, share stories, and celebrate their shared history and experiences. It definitely serves as an opportunity to educate the broader public about the history, experiences, and contribution of the Southeast Asian in Minnesota, help raise awareness about the issues affecting Southeast Asian community, combat stereotypes and discrimination, and promote inclusive and social justice. As an executive director of a nonprofit that serves the Southeast Asian community, I look forward to the opportunity to work with other nonprofits and the History Center to celebrate our community, I would call a moment of history. And thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Director. Representative Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we had two other folks signed up to testify, but they have family emergencies and work emergencies. So I'm going to just incorporate their messages in my closing remarks.
We have a group of testifiers from the public that are interested in saying a few words on your bill, Representative Lee. Just to be clear, we have the chair of the Asian Pacific Council. If you're here, Yep. Hi. Good morning. Please come up and then we're gonna. So we're as you're coming up, I just want to kind of set the. We're just going to give you a couple minutes, 2 minutes each. So there's quite a list. So I just want to be fair to everybody on the list so that we make sure we make it through and then allow time to have member discussion. So I'm going to ask my staff to help me with the timing. And I know it's not much time, but you also can provide information. And we have received some letters from the public and us as members. We can read those and hear that. But thank you very much for coming, and again, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Chair Lilly, and to the rest of the committee. My name is Sir Swati Singh. My first name is pronounced Sir Swati, and my last name is Singh as in song. I was appointed 4 years ago by Governor Walz to represent the Asian Indian community. We're over 55,000 strong. We're the second largest in Minnesota and growing. I've been honored to be elected not once but twice as chair by my colleagues of the board. Just so you know, the governor appoints 11 community members to our board so that there's representation of the diverse Asian communities. There's over 40 Asian communities right here in Minnesota. I'm going to give a moment to my staffer here to introduce himself as well.
So he has another, he's next on the list. So.
Chair Lilly, members of the committee,
well, it's not.
My name is Andy Morris. Just very quickly, I'm the Public Affairs and Legislative Liaison with the Council.
Okay, sorry.
And I'm happy to take his time if he was given some time.
Go ahead, sorry.
Thank you. So I believe in diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's really important to me because I've been a minority my whole life. I was born and raised in the U.S., but I'm a minority. And you know how I mentioned about our council where the governor appoints leaders of different Asian communities? Actually, by law, because of the state legislature, the top four largest by population Asian communities have to be appointed by the governor so there is representation. We are all minorities. We're all used to not having our voice heard in government. We're used to being other. We're also used to being pitted against other community groups, like the black community, to promote infighting and fight for scraps. You may wonder, what's happening here? Asians are normally seen as stereotypically submissive. We're here, and the council is here, because we believe in diversity, equity, and inclusion. We have a bill that we proposed after spending extensive amount of time building relationships among different Asian communities that often fight with each other. And then all of last fall, we met with the four Asian communities, the Cambodian, the Lao, and the Vietnamese, and the Hmong. We had formal agendas just like you have here today.
I'm going to have you wrap up. I'm sorry, but
May I have an additional 30 seconds to get to the point, Your Honor? Chair.
Please hurry. Sorry.
Our bill, the bill that the representative has proposed, she sits on our council, and we appreciate that. It only mentions Hmong, and it says celebrates the Vietnam community, the commemoration of program. Our bill, it's inclusive. We include the Hmong, the Cambodian, the Lao, and the Vietnamese. 1 to 3 million Vietnamese perished. 62,000 Lao perished. 1.5 to 2 million Cambodians perished. And in our bill, and this is important, we put Minnesota Vietnam veterans. Minnesota's home to 111,438 Minnesota Vietnam veterans, black, white, Asian, indigenous. We ask you to oppose this bill that only gives $200,000 to the Hmong community and lets the remainder fight, the remainder of the community fight for scraps.
Thank you. And I'm certainly open to discussion, and this committee will be open to discussion as this bill moves through. The bill is being laid over, so we're not done. So thank you very much. And please, I welcome your visits, and I hope that you visit with my committee members and certainly Member Lee and discuss this further. So who's next on the list?
Thank you for your time, Chair.
Mr. Walker. Mr. Walker? If you're, please try to, I don't know if you have a list out there. On deck is Mr. Young, so please try to be ready. And Mr. Walker?
Would you mind if I wrapped up our testimony and let me defer to Mr.
I don't know what testimony. Are you, like, going to speak for the rest of people on my list, sir?
I'm going to speak for my organization.
I don't know what organization. Are you Mr. Walker?
It's a little too complicated. My name is Scott Walker.
Thank you. You have 2 minutes, sir.
I'm the founder and Special Projects Director of the Coalition of Allied Vietnam War Veterans. We have several thousand veterans of the Vietnam War around the world. Yeah. And we've just recently evacuated a number of Afghanistan. We're still processing doing Afghanistan. We are strongly opposed to this legislation, our veterans and our community. This is not inclusive by any stretch of the imagination. It allows $300,000 for competitive grants for these communities in Minnesota. They have to fight it out. And if anybody has ever attempted to apply for funding, it's almost impossible without a grant writer to do it effectively. These people haven't got the resources, haven't got the money, and they're pretty much locked out of accessing that money. The other $200,000 is specifically for a Hmong family, the first Hmong family that came to the United States. It omits the Vietnamese that came to the United States. It omits the Lao that came to the United States. It omits the Cambodians that first came to the United States. And it also omits the United States veterans' families that lost U.S. veterans during the war. This is not inclusive. As I have heard over the years, it is said that the Hmong are more Hmong than there are the other Asians. Well, if you compare Hmong with Cambodians, that's correct. If you compare Hmong with Lao, that's correct. But if you add the other groups together, they are actually outnumbered the Hmong. And they have gotten no representation in the Legacy Committee or in the state legislature. Furthermore, I have happened to go through cursory the number of bills that have been introduced into the Legacy Committee over the last 12 years. Three have been introduced for other than Hmong. None have gotten a hearing. There are 16 Hmong bills that have been heard, introduced and heard by this committee, totaling about $9 million. So the disparity between those Asian communities here in Minnesota and the Hmong are vast.
Okay, thank you.
Let me conclude with this. The governor used
the time, sir. Go ahead. I let the person before you because they're the
chairman.
Chair
we're
of
talking
the council,
50
so.
Years. Give us a couple seconds,
go
please.
Ahead, sir.
This is important. The governor states that we are one Minnesota. This does not demonstrate one Minnesota in any shape or form. So I would hope that you would not pass this, and consider the all-inclusive bill. We ask you to hear that bill. We understand that you are talking about this with Senator Hurd, and this does not look like you're going to hear that. It is not. This is not inclusive. That
Mr. Walker, thank you.
Thank you.
There is no bill yet that I've seen. I've not seen another bill, so.
I know
there's one being worked on.
I have one here. Would you like to see it?
Mr. Young, and to be clear, this committee did fund quite a big Vietnam memorial effort last cycle. Also, too. So we're not done here. We're still working on things.
Please be clear.
Mr. Young, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Steve Young. 44 years ago, I came to St. Paul to serve as the third dean of the Hamlin Law School. These are the books I've written on the Vietnamese and the Vietnamese War. They're all on Amazon. So if you're interested, please buy one. I have 3 points. 49 years ago, this coming Sunday, I went to Washington, D.C., not to my job with Simpson, Thatcher, and Bartlett law firm in New York City, to set in motion a refugee resettlement program for South Vietnamese nationalists. I had resolved that the United States of America would not abandon its allies on my watch. I spoke with some friends in the State Department and the National Security Council, and they pulled it off. 130,000 South Vietnamese were given refuge. That was the start of the Indo-Chinese refugee programs. In 1978, our Citizens Commission for Indo-Chinese Refugees successfully worked with the Carter administration to get the Refugee Act of 1980 passed. Thus, in subsequent years, more came. The Boat people, the Hmong, the Lao, and the survivors of the killing fields in Cambodia, and Mr. Vice Chairman, the Somalis. So now there are perhaps 2 million Americans with family roots in Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia. And they have me to thank for that. So anyway, my second point. The proposed funding for commemoration is honorable and uplifting. With our republic now confused and disorderly, we need to raise a standard of respect for sacrifice and human dignity to which the wise and the honest may repair. My third point. However, I suggest that the committee avoid preferring one people over others in calling on all Americans to honor those who sacrificed and those who suffered. My friend and close colleague of 30 years, General Vang Pao, would not approve elevating some people over others. He devoted his leadership to bringing people together, not dividing them according to clan or ethnic differences. My thanks, Mr. Chairman, and to the committee.
Thank you, Professor. Thank you for coming today.
Good evening.
Wilkerson?
Yes.
Hi, welcome.
Good morning, Chair and members of House Legacy Finance Committee. Thank you for your time this morning. I will be brief.
Thank you.
I sit here before you in opposition to the language in House File 4996. The proposed bill highlights the Hmong community and fails to recognize all the other Southeast Asian communities. Acknowledgement for the bravery, integrity, and struggle that the other Southeast Asian communities went through should be shared honor. Hmong, Vietnamese, Laotian, Cambodian people shall all reap the rewards due to the sacrifice which was made to stand up for human life. These are not mere words that are insignificant, but depict an accurate picture of all those who fled for freedom and landed in Minnesota. To project a true sense of the Southeast Asian community, the bill should have language that does not misrepresent the people it was written to celebrate. Hmong, Vietnamese, Laotian, and Cambodian people made sacrifices. The bill in its current status denotes an ethnocentric tone, only highlighting the Hmong community. This tone creates division and not unity, which depletes the integrity of all people. A bill of this magnitude should recognize Vietnamese, Hmong, Laotian, and Cambodians. I write to you today to ensure all communities in the Southeast Asian arena who work, contribute, live, raise families, and create a sense of diversity in Minnesota are represented in this bill. And I would like to leave you with a fun fact. Gladys Knights and the Pips. Who are the Pips? Prince and the Revolution. Who are the Revolution? Hmong and Southeast Asian. Who are the Southeast Asian? Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Nguyen? And then the next person will be somebody from the SEAD project, so. Welcome to the Legacy Committee. Thank you, sir. Please introduce yourself and go ahead when you're ready. Thank you.
Yeah. Good morning, board members. My name is Hung Nguyen. I represent the Vietnamese community in Minnesota. Thank you very much for allowing me to come here to the floor today. The bill, just to voice my opposition to the bill HF 4996. The bill is supposed to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War, to remember the sacrifices of more than 1,000 Minnesotans, hundreds of thousands of Allied troops fighting together in Southeast Asia. The bill also maintained the awareness of the Vietnam War in the U.S. history. It was a war that this country tried to ignore in the past and try to forget nowadays. The intent of the bill is noble. Unfortunately, HF 4996 is unfair from the beginning. It elevates the Hmong from the rest of Southeast Asia, line 1.3. The main theater was in Vietnam. Over 2.7 million U.S. troops set foot in Vietnam. At the peak, over 580,000 U.S. troops were stationed there. Over a million South Vietnamese troops and allies from Thailand, South Korea, Philippines, Australia, New Zealand fought side by side. I do not ignore the participation and sacrifice of the Cambodian, Laotian, and Hmong troops at the time. That was half a century ago. We are all Minnesotans now. We all contribute to the prosperity of Minnesota and the history and culture. But recognizing the Hmong over the communities is truly unfair. Why such inequality? HF 4996 allocates $200,000 to commemorate the 50 years of Southeast Asian in Minnesota, and the fund will be competitive grant, line 1.7. $200,000 to celebrate the 50 years of the Hmong in Minnesota and arrival of the first Hmong family in Minnesota, line 1.8, line 1.9.
We're kind of there for time. I'm sorry, sir. Keep, just if you can wrap up in a sentence or something, if you have one.
Yeah.
Please.
In the funding for the commemoration at the end of the war, the sacrifice of those brave men and women who answered to the call of duty or a yearly party, it's a spit on the terms of the 1,000 Minnesotans who cannot voice their opinion, an insult on the face of 1,000 Minnesota Gold Star families. Would it be beautiful if they could be here to celebrate the 50th anniversary of their homecoming? Why not a single word on the bill to mention the sacrifice, or at least a thank? In other words, it is in the closed history book. HF 4996 is divisive and irrational. It is aimed to benefit one community over others, including Americans who had served in that war. It must be rejected in its entirety and replaced with a more inclusive and equitable bill where allies are honored and remembered. It could be late for many, but it would still be a present for the few who still live today.
Thank you, sir. This may be
the last time for many of those. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present my opinions and affirm my objection to that bill, 4996. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. And the last testifier, please hurry, because I want to be able to have some time for member questions. And please introduce yourself, and thank you very much.
Good morning, Chair Lilly and members of the committee. My name is Kason Sianisa, and I'm a Lao community member and currently serve as a co-executive director at the SEED Project. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. On behalf of the Lao community and the SEED Project, I testify in opposition of House File 4996. The SEED Project, we work to uplift the stories of Southeast Asian communities from the Khmer, Hmong, Lao, and Viet diaspora communities. Over the past 5 years, we serve over 10,000 communities. In our community of 60,000 Southeast Asian refugees from Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam, I've seen firsthand the extraordinary stories of families who also beat the odds in their own way and some who still struggle. I've experienced the joy and pride each community who felt seen and felt heard. They celebrated their shared history while telling stories of friendship and loss, honor and sacrifice, and rebuilding and remembering. A history of Minnesota is incomplete without an appreciation of the Southeast Asian stories that are tied here. But because of the complexity of our journeys, one event, one festival, or a proclamation by one community alone would be insufficient to capture the last 50 years of history that must be told by the Khmer, Hmong, Lao, and Viet communities. We do not feel that House File 4996 gives this opportunity by recognizing the Hmong community only. We ask the committee to make sure that everyone has equal voices in this important mark in our history and work together in unity to tell the story of the 50th commemoration. We have also submitted a letter for more details for the committee consideration. Thank you again for the opportunity to testify. We ask the committee to listen and act on the upon the voices of our communities. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming and speaking. So we have, we're going to transition into some member questions, and so Representative Herr. Oh, Representative Lee, would you
your testimony.
Like to have any comments or anything in regards to testimony that you would, or would you like to have member questions?
I think maybe the takeaway from this, I would just say is, my sense is there's a misunderstanding of like what the bill does. I read the letter from SEED. I'm familiar with their work, and I love the idea of having multiple celebrations, and so that's exactly what this bill does. And I also understand the nuance, like as a Hmong American and a Southeast Asian person, I understand the nuance and all the intricacies, right, of moving in our community. And so I read the SEED letter, and it mentions Thai folks, right? And you know, I think when we talk about the conflict in Southeast Asia, even though there was no theater in Thailand, Thailand received a lot of these refugees. And so, you know, I think I also hear from the community, you know, that people want to be listed. But I was very deliberate with this legislation in writing Southeast Asian because, you know, we also have other ethnic groups like the Thai Dam and other people who don't have countries to call, right? And I think there's a question of why it's Southeast Asian and Hmong, and I think the explanation there is, you know, something that the MAP Caucus has led on, that our own federal government doesn't consider Hmong people Southeast Asians, right? And so we just want to make sure that there's no ambiguity there. That's really important to call out. We're on record as writing to the Census Bureau, asking them to make that change. And so I just want to make sure folks clarify that, and I'll go to questions to help answer or clear up any confusion there might be.
Thank you, Representative Lee. And we can go a few minutes over if, you know, if it's something the committee really wants. So not very far over, but over. Chair Herr.
Thank you, Chair Lilly. And I just wanted to first say thank you to all the testifiers today. I know that Representative Lee had said this to us prior to coming in today, that we are so thankful that leaving the countries that we did, we get to be in a country now that allows us to voice opposition and to share our perspective even when we don't agree, and that we should never all have to agree. We are all diverse in our own cultures and our identities, and that it is okay for us not to agree, because the truth is we don't ask other people when they come in here on an issue that everybody who touches on that group has to agree. We don't make every veterans group when they come into Veterans Affairs agree on an issue before we fund an issue. We don't make every school district agree on something before we fund schools in the work that they do. And so this is okay for us to be in here today and having different opinions. What I would actually like to ask is that I want to make sure I heard what they said in this the testimony for the SEED project. And you're right, one celebration is not sufficient to celebrate everybody, but understand that the bill that people have been in here proposing to have heard, that's what that bill does. It has one celebration for all of the people in one celebration. This bill actually gives more flexibility in saying multiple celebrations can be had. And so I want to make sure that people read that, and the other bill has not been introduced. So there is no bill that is actually public so that everyone can see. So I just want to be very clear that if that is what you are looking for, this bill actually does that. I actually would like to maybe just ask if Ms. Singh could come down. I have a couple of questions for her.
Ms. Singh.
So missing, I'm really disappointed that the executive director is not here today to answer questions, because that's usually what happens is when a bill comes from an agency, their executive director is there to answer questions, but I'll ask them to you instead. So can you, and I'd like for you just to answer my questions, and maybe, because I have a lot, I have a few questions, so if you could just give us the answers and so that we can stay very factual. Can you tell me the dates in which the Council on Asian Pacific Minnesotans had the meetings with the other groups? Not the Hmong one, because I was at the Hmong one. That just happened a few weeks ago. So can you tell me what dates the other ones happened?
I want to add...
Ms. Singh.
Ms. Singh, just directly to the question, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to first address, you mentioned Sia Herr. She's my executive director. She's our council staff. This is the council board's position. That is why I'm here as chair. The council board made a decision, and Sia Herr as executive director, it's her responsibility to act out what our board decides. So that's why I'm here, and I have our policy director, because we're addressing policy. Two, we had multiple meetings. First, we did individual ones.
Missy, could you just give the dates of the, because we did talk to the executive director. She did tell us the dates that she met. I'd like for you to be to tell me what those dates are so the committee can hear. What dates, she said you had meetings with the Cambodian, the Vietnamese, and the Lao communities. Can you tell us what dates those happened?
Missing.
We met with the Vietnamese, Cambodian, Lao, and Hmong communities from October 2023 to December 2023. We had our staff there. We had an agenda. We're happy to submit those into the record if your representative Herr would like it. But we are happy to do that. We also have a recording of the Hmong meeting that we had, which you yourself attended. And we're happy to submit that into the record if that would be helpful for the committee.
Chair
Herr. Chair Lilly, thank you so much. Missing, the reason why I asked this is because this the community, so the Hmong community did not have their meeting until a couple weeks ago. We did actually ask the council to provide dates of those meetings and also to let us know who was at those meetings, in which then we found out we did not get all the materials that we requested from the council. And then we found out that those other communities, you had conversations with them months beforehand, which should have been sufficient time to submit a bill, but yet a bill did not come forward until almost the middle of session. And the reason why I bring this up is that, just so on the record here, the Minnesota Asia Pacific Council caucus tried to actually work with the council to get the names of those individuals so that we could loop back to include them into our bills. But because the council did not provide that information after repeated a request, we were not able to reach out those communities, and we were running out of time, which is why this bill was put together in the and dropped when it was. And so I just want to be very clear for the record that we did try to reach out, and then we found out later that because we were told these were community meetings, when we couldn't really get notes, we saw some very brief notes afterwards, but we found out those were individual conversations, not community conversations. And so what we heard in the Hmong community in that hearing was that they wanted a separate celebration. We tried to confirm that with the other groups that the council met with, but we did not get the names of those individuals that were met with, and so we could not do that work. And so I just wanted to make sure that that was on the record and that we did try to be very inclusive, and this was the best way possible to include all of the other communities to be able to have access to these funds, Mr. Chair. So I just, I'll leave it there.
Thank you, Chair Herr.
Chair, may I respond? No. I think she had some questions in there.
I did not have a question.
I think I didn't really hear a question there. I'm sorry. Please submit things if you, and maybe afterwards there will be opportunities to ask members some questions. So Representative Heitzman, thank you for allowing us to go over.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and the time to hopefully work through some of this, I think, is important. So I'm glad the committee is able to do that today. Mr. Chair, my question is more for you. As I'm hearing testimony today from folks, I'm just wondering, there was a suggestion that there was another bill. And I was just curious if there is what it might be, and it does sound like there might be some bipartisan support for that. I'm not necessarily asking to put you in the spot here, but is there a chance that that bill could potentially come to this committee? Is that something that we could be hearing? It sounds like provide some opportunity to discuss something that a lot of folks could maybe circle around and support. Just wanted to quickly check.
Thank you, Representative Heitzman. There is a bill. I've not seen it. I think it's been introduced maybe in the Senate. Has not been introduced in the House. But I am not. I am aware of it. Representative Nash, who also serves on the Asian Council with Representative Lee, has a bill that he's working on. I've actually not seen it. I think there, you might have just had a copy that you just, or somebody submitted one.
This is inappropriate.
Please, sir, please try to respect space. It's really important in this to have everybody feel comfortable. So there is a bill, and it's and like I said at the beginning of the onset of this discussion, the Representative Lee is working on this bill, and we're not at a point that, you know, we're actually not passing it today, and she's committed to keep working on this, and maybe that's merges the two into one, or maybe they move separate paths. I don't know. I don't know the answer. Go ahead and just.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm glad to hear that there may be some interest in having an opportunity to hear that bill. I'm hoping that could provide some closure for folks looking to find something. But it sounds like in earlier comments that were made that it might be late, and that does happen from time to time. Sometimes bills don't come in the order we would like. But if it could provide some comfort to those that are looking to see some more diversity in the language, I hope that could be heard in this committee and look forward to that. Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Chair.
You. Representative Eng, and I think this might be the final question and wrap up from the author.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say a couple of words to the testifiers. I'm a bit taken aback by the amount of animosity against Hmong Americans or the Hmong community, especially by some of the comments that have been made. You know, I always, you know, see this as thank you, Representative Lee, for bringing this bill forward. I think it is a good bill, and I don't see this bill excluding any of API brothers and sisters from commemorating this celebration. And it's a very important celebration to all of us. We all recognize that. And what I had hoped to see is that as brothers and sisters, that should one be successful, or should that we all have this shared experience of celebrating one another. If one is suffering, that we all share that pain together. You know, I don't want to go through this route of oppression Olympics. Like, you know, so what if we clearly say American, Hmong American in this language, right? We've all been underrepresented. The Hmong people don't even have a country. Okay, and none of this language here has excluded any of our API brothers and sisters from celebrating as well. I want to make that clear. And we, as a MAP caucus, we specifically call ourselves the Minnesota Asian Pacific Caucus for a reason, because we represent all of you. And for the council to be here today makes me very concerned about the kind of work that you guys are doing to work with us as legislators, as Asian American legislators, and for the council on any bill that you could have worked us on, you're going to come in opposition. That's makes me very concerned about the work of what the council is doing. Makes me very concerned about the process that you guys are doing to work with communities and engaging with communities. It's kind of confusing and ironic how we're all supposed to work together, and yet this is the bill that you guys have come against. When clearly this language, all it's done is to celebrate something that's important to all of us. So, I mean, this will be another internal discussion with us. And I will ask the council to do better in working with us as MAP legislators. And I, you know, thank you for your indulgence, Mr. Chair. I will just, I'm pretty disheartened by how our communities feel divided about this. You know, I would expect all of our communities to be happy for one another, to support one another. And I'm a little bit disheartened by how much animosity. I'm trying not to take this personal because it seems like there's a lot of people take offense just because we put Hmong in here. So I'm just going to leave it there, and thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Vang. I have other member questions, and I think I'm gonna go to the author, and just out of respect to other committees and other work that needs to happen, and I know this discussion will keep going. Representative Lee, thank you. Final comments, please.
Sure. Thank you, Chair. I just want to remind members here, this bill is being laid over, and so we can continue to work on it. Appreciate the indulgence from both sides for going a little bit over the committee time. I think the important thing to, you know, circle back to the bill, which I do often in a lot of my other committees, is this bill is a bill to celebrate what all of our communities have been able to accomplish in Minnesota in the last 50 years. And you know, I really appreciate Rep. Bang's comments that you know, we shouldn't take away from each other. I also want to make clear for folks who might be wondering, at no time did the council say, you know, would you consider this amendment language, right? I've introduced this bill on March 18th, worked on it for, you know, quite a while, and this is actually one of the first things that I brought to the MAP caucus when we met last year after we were elected. You know, I'm someone who, you know, I'm very familiar with the collections at the History Center because I was a History Day kid and was also a volunteer there. And so this is something that obviously our communities have been tracking for a really long time. I also, you know, am really, really proud to actually be the champion for this bill as the daughter of one of the, you know, Hmong nurses in the refugee camps and the niece of a former SGU veteran who lived with chronic pain because he was shot in the stomach, but he survived. And so, you know, I also want to acknowledge there's a lot of trauma and pain in our communities and also in all the service members that serve, right, American or not. So I do want to acknowledge that. And, you know, it is our hope that when we do these commemoration and celebration events, we help people work through that trauma. And I've told community members in other meetings, I'm open to working with folks. I understand, you know, I got my act together and, you know, maybe, you know, the state agency didn't introduce a bill on the House side, but I'm open to amendments with my bill, right? And so I appreciate all the comments here and looking forward to working together to get this over the finish line. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lee, and thank you, members, and certainly thank you to the public for coming today, and thank you for your openness to work with as we continue this discussion. And with that, House File, there are my readers on. 4996 is laid over, and hope everybody has a good break after the next few days. With that, we are adjourned.